Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Welcome on this beautiful Sunday as we celebrate Rally Day and roll right into this fall season. A few announcements to share with you as we get started. First of all, I want to extend a big shout out to our CEC committee for setting up our Rally Day. They did a great job with it. Our kids played a great game of Candyland earlier. It was a lot of fun to see. Brandon and Paige came out victorious, so we'll leave that down for our kids, but it's a great start to our fall Sunday school season. And remember, next week we'll be back in regular Sunday school times with our three different adult studies, with Becky's video that teach class, Paula's going to have a Bible study, and I'm going to look at anti-racism training for the first few weeks of my class as we look at how faith and race plays a part in who we are and who we are as children of God. And then Emily will be teaching our kids in their classroom as well. So a lot of opportunities for Christian education this fall. T4C is looking for a new youth booster coordinator. This person is asked to train adult members and match them with children. It's 8 to 12 hours a week. Resumes and cover letters can be sent to the T4C office by September 20th. The Joint Board has mandated that masks continue to be worn for worship and activities in the building at this time. We continue to thank you for your cooperation with that. October 10th, we will have a special combined outside worship service at Shenbrun Village at 10. But a lot of events going on that day. So there's going to be a Sunday school opportunity from 9 to 10 with different activities for different ages. So there'll be a different group with Pastor Dave, a different group with Carolyn, and a different group with Pastor John. So it'll be really cool to see those different educational opportunities. And they'll be spread out throughout the village. Then 10 to 10:30, there'll be worship in the sanctuary there. So make sure you bring your mask since we'll be indoors, and I do believe masks are required on the grounds of Shenbrun Village. I could be wrong, but we look forward to the opportunity to worship in that historic building and have the opportunity to celebrate that. And then the big thing is 10:30 to noon, we'll be doing our service activity. So there's actually a sign up for the activities out there. You don't have to have a perfect head count for that Sunday, but we would like to have a ballpark, an idea of what people are doing in what groups. So if you know what you're already interested in, please sign up. Some of it's like hauling away sticks. Some of it's cleaning the church sanctuary. Some of it is different activities out throughout, cleaning brush, things like that. So if you've had experience doing any of those, we're also looking for some leaders for those groups as well. So please take the opportunity to sign up and lead with that as well. And there's an optional bring your own meal after. And then the other thing I wanted to share with you is next week is World Communion Sunday. So we will celebrate that with Holy Communion next week. That's all I have for announcements at this time. Let us please stand and extend the right wave of fellowship. Good morning. You may be seated. Our watchword this week comes from Psalm 145, verse 13. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandments of the Lord is clear, enlightening the eyes. Amen. This time, I'll invite Becky and Missy to come forward as we get to listen to bless all those who nurture children. You are welcome to sing along if you want. Just make sure you keep your mask on while doing so.
Showing love, who by faith will
At this time, we pray together our liturgy for Christian education commissioning. Something I really like about praying together this liturgy is it involves all of us, teachers, students, parents, the congregation, as we all remember the importance of Christian education. At this time, I ask you all to please stand if you are able. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge God, and God will direct your path. We are called into Christian fellowship by the Lord Jesus Christ, according to the eternal purpose of God the Father, by the Holy Spirit, and as a member of Christ's body. The church to serve all people by proclaiming the gospel and witnessing to our faith by word and by deed.
With God's help, we offer ourselves to proclaiming the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ our Savior, and witnessing to our faith by word and deed. We acknowledge our need for lifelong learning that equips us to be good stewards of the gospel entrusted to our care.
You may be seated. The triune God, revealed in the Holy Spirit of the Old and New Testaments, is the only source of our faith, of our life and salvation. And this scripture is the sole standard of the doctrine and faith of the Unitas Fratrum, and therefore shapes our life. We realize that our Christian faith must continually be nourished if it is to remain living and vital. Therefore, we desire to grow in our Christian lives through family devotions, personal prayer and study, and the opportunity for spiritual development offered by the church.
With God's help, we offer ourselves to grow in our Christian lives through the study of the Holy Scriptures, regular attendance at worship, daily devotions, and participation in Sunday school classes, Bible studies, small groups, Christian fellowship, and service.
As parents, remembering that our children belong to Jesus Christ, we will bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, and take all possible care to preserve them from every evil influence. For this reason, we will seek to prove ourselves as followers of the Lord Jesus, setting an example for our children, both in the home and in the church.
God is truth. Bless all your children as they seek to grow in faith. Inspire and encourage them. Give them faithful teachers, mentors, and leaders, and grant them the guidance and wisdom of your Holy Spirit. Through your word, direct their way and lead them safely to a mature Christian faith.
We pray for all expressions and forms of Christian education, for all who teach and all who learn, that through the faithful use of their gifts, all may grow in love and gratitude to God and in relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray for and give thanks for those in our congregation who have been called to teach and serve, and we call upon them now to offer themselves to their special calling. This time I ask the parents in our congregation to please stand. Parents and those assisting with the raising of children, will you offer yourselves to fulfill your special calling?
We offer ourselves to the special calling we have received. With God's help, we promise to set an example for our children and to encourage them in their Christian development. We promise to provide for their attendance at worship and Sunday school, and to their participation in other opportunities for spiritual growth and fellowship.
Parents, you may be seated. At this time, I'll ask teachers and small group leaders to stand. Teachers and small group leaders, will you offer yourselves to fulfill your special calling?
We offer ourselves to the special calling we have received. With God's help, we promise to participate regularly in worship and study, to prepare for our classes and meetings, and to encourage and show Christian love to each participant, recognizing them as a unique child of God and a sister or brother in Christ Jesus.
Teachers and small group leaders, you may be seated. At this time, I ask elders, trustees, and CEC members to please stand. Elders, trustees, and Christian Education Committee members, will you offer yourselves to fulfill your special calling?
We offer ourselves to the special calling we have received.
With God's help, we promise to participate regularly in worship, prayer, and study, to prepare for and attend meetings faithfully, and to provide the best possible resources for Christian education in our church. We promise to support and encourage all those called to Christian education leadership in our congregation, and to provide and to participate in opportunities for lifelong learning. Would everyone please rise at this time? Members and friends of the congregation, will you offer yourselves to fulfill your special calling?
We offer ourselves to the special calling we have received to proclaim the gospel and witness to our faith by word and deed. We acknowledge and accept our responsibility for our own spiritual nurture and the spiritual nurture of others in our congregation, especially the young. With God's help, we promise to be faithful in worship, prayer, and study, to encourage, nurture, and set an example for others, and to support those called to Christian education leadership in our congregation through prayer, participation, and the sharing of gifts.
We have offered ourselves to God. Help us now, O God, to fulfill our calling and grow in wisdom and knowledge and grace. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
You may be seated.
We hear from the scriptures this morning. Our first scripture reading is from Numbers. It's chapter 11, verses 4 through 18. The rabble with them began to crave other food, and again the Israelites started wailing and said, "If only we had meat to eat. We remember the fish we ate in Egypt at no cost, also the cucumbers, melons, leeks, onions, and garlic. But now we have lost our appetite. We never see anything but this manna." The manna was like coriander seed and looked like resin. The people went around gathering it and then ground it in a handmill or crushed it in a mortar. They cooked it in a pot or made it into cakes. It tasted like something made with olive oil. When the dew settled on the camp at night, the manna also came down. Moses heard the people of every family wailing, each at the entrance to his tent. The Lord became exceedingly angry, and Moses was troubled. He asked the Lord, "Why have you brought this trouble on your servant? What have I done to displease you that you put the burden of all these people on me? Did I conceive all these people? Did I give them birth? Why do you tell me to carry them in my arms as a nurse carries an infant to the land you promised an oath to their forefathers? Where can I get meat for all these people? They keep wailing to me, 'Give us meat to eat.' I cannot carry all these people by myself. The burden is too heavy for me. If this is how you're going to treat me, put me to death right away. If I have found favor in your eyes, and do not let me face my own ruin." The Lord said to Moses, "Bring me 70 of the Israel elders who are known to you as leaders and officials among the people. Have them come to the tent of meeting that they may stand there with you. I will come down and speak with you there. And I will take the spirit that is on you and put the spirit on them. They will help you carry the burden of all the people so that you will not have to carry it alone. Tell the people, consecrate yourselves in preparation for tomorrow when you will eat meat. The Lord heard when you wailed. If only we had meat to eat. We were better off in Egypt. Now the Lord will give you meat, and you will eat it. Our second scripture reading comes from the Gospel of Mark, the chapter of 9, verses 38 through 50. "Teacher," said John, "we saw a man driving out demons in your name, and we told him to stop because he was not one of us." "Do not stop him," Jesus said. "No one who does a miracle in my name can in the next moment say anything bad about me, for whoever is against us is for us. I tell you the truth, anyone who gives you a cup of water in my name because you belong to Christ will certainly not lose his reward. And if anyone causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to be thrown into the sea with a large millstone tied around his neck. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life maimed than with two hands to go into hell, where the fire never goes out. And if your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life crippled than to have two feet and be thrown into hell. And if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than to have two eyes and be thrown into hell, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. Everyone will be salted with fire. Salt is good, but if it loses its saltiness, how can you make it salty again? Have salt in yourselves and be at peace with each other."
Amen. At this time, we turn our hearts and our minds to a time of prayer and a time of reflection. For those of you joining us online, we'll share whatever prayers, concerns we can share publicly at this time, and then we'll have some time for people in our congregation to meditate on some of the personal prayer concerns we have on our slides, and for those of you at home can take some personal meditation time or turn to your prayer chain at this time. In our prayers, first and foremost, we want to celebrate the beginning of Rally Day and this beginning of Christian education in the midst of our church. It's something we've been waiting for a long time to return to. And I know in the midst of all the COVID craziness, it can be hard to remember the progress we are making, but this is a step forward for us and our congregation. And we can rejoice for the opportunity to have Sunday school in our church and in our midst once again. We continue to pray for the health, safety, and peace of our world. Continue to pray for the many who are impacted by COVID-19. We pray for areas that have been hit hard by the Delta variant. And our hospital workers and medical staff, a position I consider you to pray for this week would be people who are doing technical support, people who are helping out with devices, connecting machines, setting up MRIs, doing computer stuff at hospitals. Their hospitals have been overloaded with patients, so the people that are stepping up in those positions are making sure things behind the scenes go smoothly. So if you know somebody who's served in that position, or maybe recently retired from one of those positions not too long ago, please give them a big thank you for the hard work that they've done for us. Because it may not be something you notice right away, but it's the people behind the scenes that can make a big difference. Someone personally we can pray for this week is Rita Keller. She would be the sister of Janet West. Her blood pressure dropped this week, and she was sent to Cleveland Clinic for some serious treatment. So we continue to pray for Rita and her continued recovery. She had a stroke not too long ago, so we continue to pray that she's able to find some treatments that help her. In prayers of joy this week, yesterday Emily and I got to celebrate the wedding of Marisa and Kegan Randolph, good friends of ours. Marisa's very involved at First Baptist in church, so is Kegan as well, friends of Emily's from CMH, so it was great to celebrate and rejoice with them yesterday. Other anniversaries in the life of the church: Letitia and Jason Wright celebrated an anniversary yesterday. Ross and Tiff Swaldo are celebrating an anniversary today, so make sure you give them a big congratulations. And Mr. Ryan Castor will be celebrating a birthday on Tuesday, so we rejoice with him as well. Let's take some time to pray and reflect on all the joys and concerns we have left to God. Let us pray. Gracious God, we come before you today as the body of Christ, grateful, renewed, and joyful to be in your presence today. Gracious God, we come celebrating our rally day. Thank you for allowing us the opportunity to pursue Christian education, to grow in faith, hope, and love. And remind us whether we are 5 or whether we are 95, that we all have an opportunity to grow in Christian love and fellowship. Gracious God, we also pray for the sick, the hungry, those in need of faith, love, and friendship. We think especially of those of us who have family or friends who are battling COVID right now. We think of our own congregational family with Doug and Angie and so many others who are dealing with COVID-related issues. Be with them, strengthen them, renew them, and remind them that even in quarantine, they are not alone because Christ Jesus is with each and every one of them. So as we look to our gospel today, help us to remember to not be stumbling blocks for each other. Help us to uplift and cheerlead for one another. because we know that we are called to take care of each other, because no one took better care of us than you did by laying down your life for each and every one of us. So help us to live with the gift of salvation and mercy on our hearts every single day. In your blessed and gracious name we pray. Amen. At this time, we now turn our attention to our offerings. Once again, reminding you, we are not passing an offering plate across the pews. But we continue to thank you for your sustained giving, and also look for community organizations that you can support as well. As the needs in our community continue to increase, so should our outreach and our support. This time I ask you to stand for our offertory hymn. Let us pray together the prayer of dedication. Gracious God, we ask that you nurture us in our growth as disciples of Christ. Help us to give in ways that build up the kingdom of God. Amen. You may be seated. At this time, we turn our attention to our children's chat, an opportunity to discuss God with our kids. So for our children's chat today, we're going to do things a little bit differently. I'm not going to ask you to pull out your whiteboards. What I'm going to ask for is one volunteer who's willing to go on a scavenger hunt. Actually, let's put a couple on the spotlight. Why don't we take Nick and Paige? This will be a good relationship building activity for you right here. So you can stand right here. So for our scavenger hunt, this is going to be easy peasy. I have hidden some chocolate somewhere inside this church, and I need you two to find it. I need to retrace my steps. So I'm going to give you guys some very, very easy directions to follow to find this chocolate for me. So what I want you two to do first is take four giant steps down the middle of the sanctuary. And remember, I have size 14 shoes, so giant, giant steps. No, that's good. That's good right there. Uh-oh. So step two. I forgot to mention that some of the directions are in different languages, too. Is that a problem for you guys?
Yeah.
So step two. Da five pasos a la derecha. The five pasos a la derecha. Does anybody know what that is? Anybody speak Spanish? McKenna?
Five steps to the right.
Yeah, five steps to the right. So take five steps to the right. Don't take out Maryam, though. You don't have to take out Maryam. You can go as close as you want. There you go. All right, stop right there. Oh, did I mention there's some in French, too? Are you guys fluent in French? Isn't your sister good at French? Didn't it rub off on you a little bit? Let's see. Fare five pas vers la gauche. My French is horrible. Fare five pas vers la gauche. Anybody have any guesses what that is? Yeah, five steps to the left. Take five steps to the left. And you're back the way you came. There you go. All right, walk to the bookcase. And now I'm really going to help you out. The chocolate is hidden in a blue hymnal.
Oh.
Did you find it? Did you find it yet? All right. Okay, stop. If that doesn't help you. All right. If that doesn't work, look at the top of the bookcase and go down as many rows as Packer legend Brett Favre's jersey number. You may want to ask your dad. There we go. Tim's got you covered. So look at the top. Go down as many rows as Brett Favre's jersey number. 4. We're going to have some Packer education class maybe in the spring. All right, hold on. Now, from the left to the right in row 4, so you're going from your top down, 1, 2, 3, 4, I want you to go across as many as Baker Mayfield's jersey number. Tyler, help him out. Show him your jersey. All right, what'd you find in there? Should be in the front. There you go. They found their chocolate, everybody. Give them a round of applause. You can go ahead and return and split your chocolate right there. So, kids, did I make that easy or hard on them?
Hard.
It's kind of hard, right? Could I have made it easier? Right? How many steps could I have actually done that in?
One.
Walk there, looking for the fourth row, eighth row. Yeah.
Handed it to him.
Absolutely. So what we're talking about in our gospel today is how we shouldn't put stumbling blocks in front of people, how we shouldn't try to stop them from doing what they're called to do. So what we're supposed to do are be people, think of life as a scavenger hunt. We're supposed to be the ones that give the most helpful directions, not the ones that put people in different languages going 5 steps to the left in Spanish and 5 steps to the right in French, all to get back to the same place you were before. We should actually get our joy not from confusing people, but from helping them achieve their goals. Whether it's chocolate, whether it's being a better student, whether it's being a better friend, we can all be better people and make sure we're not stumbling blocks for the people we love and care about. Let's pray. Gracious God, we come before you and ask us to bless these children and help each of their steps be a step closer to you, Jesus, and to remind them that even when there are stumbling blocks, there is a Savior who will help them. There is a church family who will help them. And there is a helping hand all around us. So help each one of us be those helping hands for each other and for those who exist outside of our faith community. In your blessed and gracious name we pray. Amen. So for our message today, I want to dig into what Missy read for us from the Old Testament in Numbers, which is a very, very interesting text to read. Listen to Moses once again from Numbers 11, verses 10 to 15. Moses heard the people weeping throughout their families, all the entrance of their tents. Then the Lord became very angry, and Moses was displeased. So Moses said to the Lord, "Why have you treated your servant so badly? Why have I not found favor in your sight, and that you lay the burden of all this people on me? Did I conceive all this people? Did I give birth to them, that you should say to me, 'Carry them in your bosom as a nurse carries a suckling child,' to the land that you promised on oath to their ancestors? Where am I to get meat for all these people? For they come weeping to me and say, 'Give us meat to eat.' I am not able to carry all these people alone, for they are too heavy for me. If this is the way you are going to treat me, put me to death at once." Put me to death at once. "If I have found favor in your sight, do not let me see my misery." Whew. Moses likes drama. Moses is not afraid to tell you how he's really feeling. If you ask me, he sounds like, in modern terms, an exhausted school board person, a school board member, trying to figure out a mask mandate for kids in the school right now. And they're trying to balance health and safety and angry people on one side. Moses is that person who's stuck between a rock and a hard place. And he has two choices he can make. He can become the person who unleashes the complaints of all his people, option one, and unleash them all onto the eternal and all-powerful God. Or number two, he can be God's emotional sponge or whipping boy for all the negative emotions that people hurl his way. No one here, if you had those two choices, I guarantee would trade places with Moses today. In fact, none of us here would trade positions with a school board member either. As Shakespeare famously said, heavy is the head that wears the crown. See, the thing about Moses is he is one of my favorite biblical characters because he is so utterly human. He is constantly asked by God to do things he does not want to do, but he ends up doing them, but man, is he not afraid to speak his mind. And he often treats God like the human resources department for human suffering. Moses loves drama. And I think if we're honest with ourselves, we too find ourselves often praying like Moses. God, if you would only make this COVID problem disappear, everyone would be happy. God, if you would only stop these natural disasters and war, everyone would be happy. God, if you would only stop the violence in our world, everyone would be happy. I love you, God. I care about you, but it's the person next to me that's got an issue. Floyd over there, he's the one that's really been complaining about the meat. Oh, Delane. Delane's actually the one that's been complaining about the meat. I've been giving you the 5-star reviews on Amazon, 4.5 when you haven't come through for the Packers, but I'm the one that's been appreciating you. It's the other people over there. And you know what God does when we start pointing fingers at God and the people around us? God points that finger right back at us. And he does that to Moses time and time again. And he goes to Moses, "What are you doing about these things? I gave you free will for a reason. Please use it. Help these people and help yourself." And if you think about it, think about our society today. If there is one thing that Democrats and Republicans can agree on, it is that people love complaining about things today as much as they ever did. I think whining is starting to become a national pastime. Moreover, we have more methods to lodge complaints than ever before. In Moses' day, how could you complain to somebody? You could complain face to face, you could write them a letter, or you could complain about them behind their backs to the people around them. Those were kind of the two or three things that you stuck with. Now imagine if you served on a local school board, if you were an elected state or federal politician, if you were a church board member and you were dealing with complaints about the COVID crisis right now. How many different ways could you receive complaints? Well, you can do all those things we just mentioned. And now on top of that, you can add phone calls. You can text. You can email a letter. You can email a letter anonymously. You can write something about somebody on Facebook, on Instagram, on Twitter. And you can put all those angry emojis at the end of it, letting people know with the 37 exclamation points so that doesn't get your point across. Now, more than ever in our history, it is easier to complain about somebody than it ever has been. Because now you don't even have to look at anyone in the eyes or even sign your name when you are complaining. You can just do it for the fun of it. And when we think about that, I often think the counteract of that. And I think of this quote from the Marvel movie Black Panther. "But in times of crisis, the wise build bridges and the foolish build walls." In times of crisis, the wise build bridges and the foolish build walls. We need to think about that with our words. Are we the people of Numbers, or are we the people of Mark, who are not putting stumbling blocks in front of the people around us? Because we should be building bridges with our words. Brothers and sisters, ask yourself, how much of your day do you waste away building walls by complaining about other people and decisions they make? I have to throw myself in there. I spend way too much time in my day complaining about play calls that I don't have control of, depth chart decisions I don't have control of, and things that I just love to complain about. But what are some things that each of us could complain about less in our lives? Let's actually get our whiteboards out for this. What are some things we could complain less about in our lives? Could be anything. Bless you. What are some things we could complain less about? Another 30 seconds and think about it. What could we complain less about? Let's see some of your responses. What are things we could complain less about? School and band. Work management issues you can do nothing about. Absolutely. Aches and pains, for sure. We're going to have them. Getting up in the morning. Amen to that, Jacqueline. Let's hit our coffee sponsors up here on our Facebook stream right there. People, work, school, the weather. Absolutely. Politicians, they're always going to be unhappy. Too much housework, too much yard work. Oh, I love that, Martha. The hot weather. And now it's the cold weather, right? Now we're all upset about that. It's too cold. Even though yesterday it was 90 degrees and it was so hot and sticky. Unreliable people. We can't make them more reliable. We can't fix that. The work day, absolutely. Football and school, those can be very stressful. And what does Peyton have? School. Home, work, absolutely. Those are good ones. Football, yeah, I can't complain about my team, but I'm going to try. I always have, for me, it's finances. There's always going to be another bill around the corner. So I should stop focusing on the one in front of me, just pay it, be done with it, and stop letting it give me anxiety. And time. I always think I'm going to have more time the next week, and then it just gets filled up in meetings and stuff like that. And I should take advantage of the downtime we do have instead of using that time to complain about the downtime I don't have, because then that gets eaten away as well. I love those responses, though. Those are all day-to-day things we could complain less about, because we have the control not to fix our politicians or people, but to fix how we respond to those circumstances. There's one thing every human being on the planet has control over, and it is your response, how you choose to approach something. And the other issue, when we look to that, when we're dealing about complaints, I think many of you are mentioning people and the complaints that they have. And I know for us, it's easy to get sucked into it when other people around us are complaining. And I know it takes a lot of energy to listen to others complain about decisions that upset them. So if you hear someone in the middle of a rant you don't want to hear, interrupt them and say this. So what is the solution you are proposing to the problem you are talking about? See how they respond to that question. What is the solution to the problem you're talking about, or are you just going to keep talking about this problem? And those words almost always stop complainers in their tracks, because thinking about a solution almost always never enters their minds. They just love to have something to complain about, for better or worse. So with our words, let's not be the complaints department. Let's be the praise department. With our words, as disciples of Christ, be bridge builders. Mark is clear, chapter 9, verse 42. Don't be a stumbling block for others. If any of you put a stumbling block before one of those little ones who believe in me, it would be better for you if a great millstone were hung around your neck and you were thrown into the sea. Those are strong words from Jesus. Maybe not literal, but strong words that we should be good leaders. We should be good role models. So let's be the people that build bridges with our words and our actions. Because guess what? We don't want our politicians, our church leaders, our teachers, our journalists, our state employees, we don't want them to be sounding like Moses after they go to work or they finish a meeting or they get done with their regular 9-to-5 job. We don't want them coming home saying, "Dear God, put me to death because how terrible my day at work was." We want people to be eager to seek solutions and build bridges. We want people to feel supported and uplifted. Because guess what? The culture changes. When you look around and see that you are surrounded by people who want to build bridges, you naturally become a bridge builder yourself. But if you're surrounded by an entire sea of people who like to complain, what are you going to do? You are going to be a complainer as well. So we as Christians are called to help change and uplift our culture. Because I think all of us, whether we are the most fierce Republican or the most fierce Democrat, I think we can all admit that complaining about things is not getting us anywhere. So let's be bridge builders. Let's seek to remove the stumbling blocks from each other's and continue to care and nurture for one another as we are called to do. Because we are God's people and we can make a difference. So look for those differences that you've had on your whiteboard this week and look for opportunities to stop complaining less and keep building bridges. I'm going to ask you all to help keep me accountable to that as well, because that is a big challenge for me as well. And I realize I just said that an hour before football starts off on a Sunday afternoon, so you may have to text my wife and see how I'm doing tonight. But all of us can work on becoming better bridge builders for God. Amen. Let's pray. Gracious God, we come before you, and I want to say thank you for the people in this room. And I can just sense in their spirits that they, too, feel a connection to this text and these words. That we don't want to be stumbling blocks for others. We don't want to be whiners or complainers or people who spend their whole life talking about everything that's wrong with the world. We want to help. We want to make a difference for others. We want to be a part of positive change in our lives. So help us follow in Christ's path, as he too reminded us that anyone who is for God is with God. So help us to be for and with God in all times and in all places. In your blessed and gracious name we pray. Amen. And it seems fitting for our final hymn that we carry the joy of God with us as we sing one of our Moravian favorites, "Jesus Makes My Heart Rejoice." I ask you to please stand at this time. bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of Jesus, amen.